Peaks. Peaks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast that will never end. It's the Metal Geeks podcast, brought to you by altnews.com. Ding. This is one of your weary travelers. This is Carrie G, and I am back from a whirlwind trip from California, which we will get into. And along with me is my ever-loving co-host,
JM Metal Geek.
Hey, what's up?
So how you been, man?
Very good, actually. Thank you for asking.
Cool, cool. What have you been up to the past couple weeks?
Well, I've been doing customs like I always do, and reading the fuck out of comics.
Good. We'll definitely get into that. I have been trying to catch up on some stuff so we can discuss it in the show. But it's hard to, you know, get it all done, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have finished the Age of Ultron series, the main storyline, that is. I haven't read all the side stories yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, we had discussed that you were kind of like not really impressed with the entire ending like I was.
Yeah, the ending, okay, we're going to try not to spoil it here, but my biggest complaint about the whole series is Ultron really wasn't in it.
Right. Listening to other podcasts, and I'm going to try to do this now. If you are listening and you do not want to be spoiled by any of the information you're going to be talking about,
right,
pause it or skip over, fast forward through it. But spoil alert, there's your official announcement.
Yeah, we're legally safe if we say spoiler alert.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like one of those people that go on the internet when, like, a pay-per-view is going on for a fight, and they're like, well, don't post the results. Oh, come on.
Stay off the internet. Don't go on to fucking Facebook if you haven't seen the season finale of your favorite show yet.
Yes. But yeah, you're right. Ultron really wasn't in it, but the fact of him being in, he wasn't like technically in it, but
right,
he was still involved in this.
He was still the puppeteer of everything.
Yeah.
But I was hoping they would at least interact with him and confront him.
Yeah. I was hoping that Angela would have been able to, literally just annihilate him,
right,
just to show how powerful she is.
It was a tease, man. It was like the whole, all the Marvel heroes like were left with blue balls because they couldn't freaking fight Ultron, you know?
Yeah, and now they have no idea what's going on with Angela, and
right,
you have to read on to Guardians of the Galaxy number 5.
Because I haven't got there yet, and
that's where it picks up off from the last Age of Ultron.
Okay, so it is Guardians of the Galaxy 5. Okay, I'm gonna have to read that next. You know, it was just weird the way they introduced Angela. It was like, okay, so they saved the day, blah blah blah. All of a sudden, Angela shows up. It was just out of the blue a little bit, you know.
In a sense, I see what you're saying, but because they shattered everything in the space-time continuum. What they just did was something that doesn't really happen very often. It only happened a little bit in the 90s with the DC Marvel crossovers.
Right, right.
You know, they actually acknowledged that in other universes there are other characters, which I thought was brilliant. But the only problem with that is, when are they going to bring in other characters from other comic book other than just Angela?
So, yeah, I think they missed a little bit. I mean, they could have shown a little bit of foreshadowing somewhere in the series that, okay, Angela is coming, or just something that was going to happen. You know, it was this drop. Okay, here she is, drop down. Here you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, what they can do. You know, I always give Marvel a little bit more credit because, you know, they do write some crazy shit sometimes. Like when Captain America died, maybe like, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
He didn't actually get shot by real bullets. He got shot by time bullets and got sent to a different alternate universe or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that means that he would be back, you know, because, right. You know, that still happens. And the weirdest thing about this whole aftermath of the Age of Ultron, like, I'm reading this series, it's a spun-off from it called The Hunger. It's called Hunger with Galactus on the front of it.
I haven't read that yet.
Phenomenal story. And some of the most spectacular artwork. And there was one panel that I posted on my Instagram.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, that is total tattoo material. Where, you know, it shows the reflection of Galactus and, you know, and Silver Surfer's back. You know, that is, because in a sense, the Silver Surfer is a consistent reflection. It's like, if you're showing his back, he's not going to just be a silver guy, you know, colored in. You're going to see a reflection of something behind him and the stars reflecting off of him.
Like the mirror, like, it's like a, you know, a really high quality mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have called him Silver Mirror then, instead of Silver Surfer.
And they actually incorporate Rick Jones in this, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, and Rick Jones is under the guidance of the Watcher.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm going to have to read that. That's pulling some multiple shit out right there.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Cool. What else have you been reading?
Well, it's kind of funny because I've noticed that whenever Marvel starts kind of tearing off and getting a little bit long-winded with their stories, I tend to gravitate towards other stories. And I've been reading this Trinity War with the DC Universe.
Okay, so I've heard a little bit about that on another podcast. I haven't actually read them all. So it's Justice League, right?
Correct.
And then there's Justice League of America, which is basically formed to fight the Justice League or to prevent them from doing anything to doing any harm.
Right, basically, so like if Batman has a weapon to cripple Superman, they want to know how Batman could be more powerful than Superman, and it's basically a team of paranoid guys, you know.
And then there's
the CIA terrorist.
So it's a government-based team, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the Justice League is not. It's just the superheroes.
Correct.
Okay. And then there's the Justice League Dark, which is like the supernatural characters?
Right. Okay. Like, you have Swamp Thing, Shade, Deadman,
Blade?
Oh, no.
Oh, Blade's a different company. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Constantine.
Okay.
So it's very interesting. There was one part that, you know how Constantine is. He's actually becoming one of my favorites because of the way they're using him.
Does he say whoa a lot?
No.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. No.
There you go.
Yeah. No, he's being implemented into the DC Universe flawlessly. You know, the persons in charge of using his character, they're actually complimenting his condescending deception in so many wonderful ways. Like, there was one panel that I remember in particular. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman got pissed off at him, and he basically was like, who fucking cares? You know, fine, beat me up, I don't care.
Wow. You know? So, I don't really know much about the character Constantine. I don't really remember. What kind of powers does he have?
He has, I was actually reading up on this a little bit myself because I wasn't very familiar with him until I started reading the comics from the New 52, which since, you know, I have to say, since I've actually got introduced to the character, other than the whole Keanu Reeves version, I've been going back and doing my own research, and I'm actually going to Vertigo Comics and reading Hellblazers. So, I mean, it's, you know, they actually opened up a new character in my world and expanded my horizons a little. But I'm not an expert on him, but I can tell you that he's one of those guys that he is always pretty much luck is always on his side, whether it is something that just happens or something that he forces to happen. So he's always going to win, essentially.
Okay.
He has, he's a spellcaster, but he doesn't do it often against other people.
Is he like Doctor Strange in that way, or?
I would say that he's, I think Doctor Strange consistently uses his magic. Constantine only uses his magic when necessary, but he's more of like a detective, where like he has such an intellectual mind.
Isn't he like a film noir type of, you know, detective character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's another spoiler. I mean, you're going to be reading it anyways, or you won't be. You know, it's one of those things. There was one panel in particular in the comics where, you know who Shazam is. And
Shazam.
He's basically a little kid.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know?
Billy something?
Yeah. There's something happening where Constantine's, like, stirring the pot up, distracting Justice League of America, Justice League, and getting them all upset with each other. While it's happening, he tricks Shazam into going into a portal that he created to teleport, which, by the way, he's a master of teleportation, and he can actually walk between heaven, hell, and earth without dying.
Okay.
So he can teleport anywhere he needs to go. So he teleported to this place that he, I can't remember the name of it in particular, but it was one of his safe havens, in a sense. And when he got there, there was a demon or whatever, and he couldn't beat the demon with his own powers, so he stripped Shazam of his own powers and put it into his own body and was basically a Shazam Constantine.
Wow.
And it was awesome.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, before...
ripped the head off of the demon. It was awesome.
Nice. We have a couple other things to get into. Of this episode, I guess, is going to be about the trip, and there's a lot of fucking information I want to give out and talk to you about. I saw a lot of cool shit, so we got to get to that. But we both saw the same movie recently.
The Wolverine. Yeah.
What was your opinion?
Well... we discussed previously about giving it horns up, or giving our rating scales horns up, so we're going to go on a 5 horns up scale.
Okay. That's something we were talking about, is creating a rating system here, 1 through 5 horns. Not horny, but just horns.
Yeah, this was really fucking horny.
Give me your quick and low down dirty review.
My quick low down dirty review. I thought it was approached absolutely 100% far better than the last Wolverine movie. The cinematography was amazing.
I was gonna say that it was shot really fucking well. It was a beautifully shot movie. It looked really the. There was a couple really well-placed shots. I mean, when they were, like, hiding behind a different, like, a tree or something. And I like that kind of shit because it's different than the norm, you know?
Yeah. And the angles that they used for... obviously, you've gone to school for it. I haven't.
Yep.
This is absolutely a novice type of just fan appreciation on my end. But on your end, it's, you know, you're educated on it. But for me, like... You filmed, so you know how to do it.
You're right. I know what you're saying. I do know. I was just making a joke.
Yeah, I film with my fucking iPhone on Instagram. So there were some scenes in particular, especially the subway or the bullet train scene.
Yes, that was beautifully done.
Yeah, and there was a lot of the whole the geography of Japan was beautiful. They incorporated a lot of the natural.
Whoever was doing the location scouting did a really good job. It's like, okay, it's one thing to just, okay, we're going to go shoot in Japan, but to get beautiful places that they were, you know, shooting at like they did, it could be a little bit more difficult, you know? But, I mean, they got great locations.
Yeah, and I was actually, I was late to the movie because I missed an exit on the interstate. So I missed the first 10 minutes of it, and my buddy that went to the movie with me, he filled me in on it, and I didn't miss very much, but
I don't even remember the first 10 minutes of it.
Yeah,
it was what was it? It was the dream sequence, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
And it was how they met, and
right.
Basically, I didn't miss much, but
no.
But from the point that I saw the movie. All the way to the end, I thought it was very well done. I loved the character casting. I loved everything about it. The lizard was kind of weird. I didn't really like that character very much.
Yeah, Viper is really...
Viper, yeah.
Yeah, she's the head of Hydra.
And see, they didn't even hint at that at all.
They did not hint at Hydra in that movie at all.
Because
They can, because Hydra is part of the Captain America universe. But yeah. How do they get the right to use the Viper character? I don't know.
Right.
And I was talking to somebody about the some of the CG was a little shoddy. Like the CG for her Venom looked like neon green piss. I don't know. It didn't. I was like, oh, that doesn't look cool, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was very Sonya Blade-ish.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And it wasn't very original, in my opinion. The coolest thing I thought about her character, though, was she did look good in her outfit. And when she shed her skin, that was pretty badass.
Yeah,
creepy
that was cool.
As shit.
So, it was a well-crafted movie, I gotta say that. There was a lot of disappointing plot turns that was very... Okay, I expected a lot of shit to happen, which did happen. It was just, really? You're really going there? Really?
Yeah.
But
that's how my buddy was, too. He's a huge Wolverine fan and Silver Samurai fan.
And it wasn't until, like, the end of the movie that I felt that way. Like, the first hour and a half of the movie was fucking great. It was, he was very angsty. He was very, not that, you know, within teenage angst, I'm going to, you know, I hate myself because nobody loves me type of shit, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know... They incorporated what happened in the last X-Men movie into how he's, you know, feeling now.
Right.
It really took a fucking, you know, toll on him killing Jean Grey.
Oops, yeah.
Spoiler. But
right.
And I did like the Jean Grey cameos. I mean, that's not a giveaway because that was in the fucking trailers, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he had PTSD. I mean, simple.
Yeah, totally. That's what it was. It was you know, he had post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
he was depressed.
Really, really well done. I hated it when he turned into the Wolverine. I hated the moment where he was like, "I am the Wolverine." It's like, okay, then go get your suit, put your fucking mask on, and stop being Logan.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only thing I didn't like about it.
Yeah, he never was in a suit, was he?
No. I mean, how many fucking comics have we read with Wolverine right now? If you look at any of the Marvel comics right now, how many of those comics have Wolverine unmasked? None.
Right.
None of them.
Sure.
And
how many Marvel comics have Wolverine in them every month? Everyone.
Yeah, I know. It seems like that.
Wolverine or Deadpool, one of the two.
Now they're doing with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
Yeah. But overall, just because of the whole plot hole thing, the that was one negative on it. I didn't like the cheesiness of the whole transformation to the Wolverine. The character building was amazing, but
yeah,
when it got to the point where he actually did the switch, that was kind of like, I wasn't very happy about it. They could have done a little bit better. But overall, I would probably have to give it like, I'd have to give it 4 horns, because I would have given it 5 if they could have referenced Hydra, and it seems like, as though they completely killed off the Silver Samurai. So
yeah,
that's not cool.
I wasn't very happy with the way they handled the Silver Samurai in the movie, but I'm not gonna spoil that.
Yeah. Oh, I just did. Anyways, the ending credit scene actually kind of got me a little bit more hopeful.
Yes. Let me give my review, my score real quick. I'm not going to give it as high of a score as you did. You gave it a 4 out of 5.
That's generous of me too, by the way.
I'm going to say probably 3.5 horns, because it was a beautifully done movie. I mean, there was a lot of visually pleasing elements to the movie, but some of the script, there was a lot of glaring script problems, and I just couldn't overlook that.
And you know, that's one of those things, man, where mine's very generous, because I feel like the person who was in charge of actually directing the movie, in control of the camera, in control of the casting, all that was amazing. And that shouldn't be overshadowed by the fact that you got big fat cats up in Fox telling them, oh, it would be kind of cool if she would just blow buttered piss out of her face all over you and, you know, give them money shots of toxic venom. Right. You know, it's unfortunately, for as long as Fox owns those rights, we're going to have to expect it.
Yeah. But you know, they did a hell of a lot better job than the last movie. I think they learned that they need to stay more true to the characters, I think, and give the fans what they want, not the kind of movie they want to make.
Right.
And they did that here. I mean, to a certain extent, they did that.
Yeah, it totally got me excited for the whole Days of Future Past. And actually, I bought a trade paperback of it, and I'm going to
read the
entire thing. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I try to stay away from any spoilers on this before I saw it, so we're not going to spoil anything here, but the after credit scene, it's not after the full credits, it's after maybe the first few minutes of it.
Yeah, like the main cast credits.
Right, so if you see it, you don't have to wait another fucking 15, 20 minutes to see it. Yeah. I like when they do that. It leads right up into Days of Future Past, the movie, so I'm happy they went there.
Yeah.
Taking a little bit of a hint from what Marvel's doing with their movies, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And for those of you out there who want to see it, I'm pretty certain you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Don't spoil it for yourself. If you know, don't do that.
Or you can be like me. And not have any fucking patience.
Did you see any other movies recently?
I'm trying to think. I haven't seen any movies in the theater, but I actually recently went to a local sound exchange, and I picked up a couple of movies I'm going to be watching soon.
Okay.
I got this Superman versus Superman Batman Apocalypse Blu-ray. I'll show you.
Okay. I think I've seen that one. I get confused on some of those, because I mean, I've seen a lot of them, and they start blurring in my mind sometimes.
Right. Well, the coolest thing about this is that it's a Blu-ray. It's only a couple of years old.
Yeah. Oh, is that the one with Supergirl in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I have seen that one.
And I got it for $3.99.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Yeah. And then I also got...
Oh, I see what you got there.
Yeah, you do. And the fact that we were just talking about X-Men and Days of Future Past and Wolverine, one of my favorite cartoons from my childhood and my teens was X-Men cartoon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Is that so, does that have the Day of the Future Past episodes on it?
It does.
Hey, I still have my VHS collectors of the Day of the Future Past episodes that I got when I worked at Pizza Hut when that came out. Yeah.
Yeah, episode
I'm old.
11 and episode 12, Days of Future Past, part 1 and 2.
If you want to catch up on the movie and you don't feel like reading the whole story, watch those episodes from the X-Men animated series from the 90s. You'll be caught up right away.
And I got this volume 1.
Yeah, there's like five volumes, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They're all five there, and I'm going to get them all after.
How much are they there?
$6.
Wow. Okay. I haven't collected them because I didn't want to, you know, I don't like the way they split it up so much, you know what I mean? But yeah, for $6, I would buy them. That's a pretty cheap deal.
Yeah. And so that's what I've been watching. How about you, man? Have you seen any...
I saw The Wolverine. I haven't seen much TV recently, we're going to go see Kick-Ass this weekend, so we can talk about that next week.
That guy's name should be more like, Ass Kicked.
Right. Actually, Mike Pham from, the guy who runs Oldness, I was talking to him about it last night. He went to a sneak preview the other day, and he says it's really good, so I'm looking forward to it.
When does that come out?
It comes out this weekend.
Really? Might have to go see that then.
That's going to be our... If we do a big opening weekend movie, we'll do it on like a Saturday morning early before like 11, so it's not too crowded. And we don't have to be around all the annoying assholes that are in movie theaters, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Well, that's cool. There was... the TV shows that I've been watching... I've been watching a lot of Tattoo Nightmare, and
the funny thing is, with a little side tangent, the store that I get all my shit my tattoos done at is called Virtue Tattoo right here in Stafford, actually. Tattoo Nightmares approached them about 6 months ago to be on their show.
Yeah,
and he basically the owner Tim basically told him, take your crappy ass reality tattoo show and stick it up your ass.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Would have been a lot of exposure for you, man. He's like, I don't want that kind of exposure, you know?
Yeah.
It's so much negativity on that show, you know? And they always, you know, twist stuff in the wrong way.
Yeah, that's true.
He just didn't want to be involved with it. And I was like, proud of you, man. That's cool.
Yeah. So I watched that, and a new TV show that I just started watching with my fiancé is called Perception.
I haven't heard of that.
It's got the guy from Will and Grace, the main character.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have seen the previews. Is that any good?
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. And it's this guy. He's a professor at a college, and he has schizophrenia. And it's pretty bad. He actually starts hallucinating. And, so basically, if I was going to say to compare it with something – it's basically like he's kind of like Dr. House in the sense where he's always trying to find ways to cure things and find the answer. So it has that element to it. It also has the whole element of scholar. It has the guy, LeVar Burton, I think his name is, from Reading Rainbow.
Really?
Yeah,
now that damn song would be stuck in my head. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. He's on there, and I believe it's one of the girls who was on The Office. I believe she's in there. One of the guys I think was from Party of Five. So I mean, it's a really crazy, bizarre cast, but man, it works.
I'm gonna have to check that out. What have we been watching? Before we left, we were watching, started watching Under the Dome, which is really good.
My dad was telling me about that. Stephen King, but I haven't seen any of the shows.
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of on Netflix at the gym, still watching Arrested Development, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it recently. There's a lot of shows coming out this fall that I'm looking forward to. Of course, S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'll get to that.
Yeah.
I missed seeing that when I was in California.
I can't believe I forgot to mention that I've been watching Dexter like a fucking madman.
You're watching Mad Men too?
No, Dexter.
Oh.
Yeah. But holy shit, it's an amazing season so far.
And I'm about to get back into Breaking Bad. I've watched the first two episodes.
Right.
So I'm going to watch whatever's on Netflix and then try to catch up any way I can, but
I have never seen it.
It's good. It's very good so far. Extremely well done.
I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast, and they put that TV show over like it's the best TV show on the network television.
It's supposed to be one of the top five shows of all time already.
Wow.
So, yeah. If you have Netflix, I mean, it's definitely worth checking out.
That's interesting.
So I guess let's move on.
D23, man.
D23. So we spent a whirlwind week in, I was going to say sunny California, but coming here from Houston, man, it was fucking great weather the whole week. It was like, we woke up in the morning, it was like, you know, 65 degrees outside, and when it got hot, it was like 78 degrees. You're like, this is great.
Wow.
This is like our winter here, you know?
Yeah.
So we left on a Sunday. We got there late. We stayed in a great fucking hotel. It was 3 miles away from Disneyland, truthfully. And it was one of these Candlewood suites. So we had a full-size fridge. We had a, you know, cooktop. We had – it was just a nice room, you know. It was
right.
And it was a neighborhood that was further away, so it wasn't as much traffic and all the hotels right around Disneyland, just people walking fucking everywhere, you know?
Right.
So we were further away from that to actually have a little bit of peace and quiet, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we were still close enough to get to the park really easy. So the first night we got there, we went out to dinner. And we actually went to Target first to get a bunch of, like, waters and that kind of shit and stuff we can, you know, snack on. That was low calorie. Then we went to Downtown Disney for the first night, hung out there for a while. We were tired, you know, so we decided to get something to eat on the way back. We actually stopped at Del Taco.
How was that?
Del Taco was pretty awesome. We have one here in Houston again, and they're about to open like 40 of them or some shit, they say. But
holy shit.
The cool thing about going to a restaurant in California, especially a fast food place, is, especially when you're on a diet, is everything on the menu has their calories on it.
So really?
It's like, okay, I can eat this chicken burrito, which is 1,200 calories, or I can have these two tacos that's only 400 calories. So it's easier to pick and choose there instead of wondering, you know?
Right.
Oh, I did forget, right after the airport, this was a fucking nightmare. Do not use dollar fucking rent-a-car at the LAX airport. It took almost an hour for them to come pick us up from where all the, the trams come to, all the buses come to. We waited 45 minutes for a fucking dollar rent-a-car to come. A lot of people were waiting. And then when we got, it was ridiculous, man. And then when we got to the fucking place, 2 hours in line to fucking rent our car.
So you lost 3 hours of your vacation time.
We lost 3 hours of them because of that shit. It's like,
oh, I'd be livid.
We were pre-registered for our fucking car. Why did we have to get into a line where people, they're just coming in and standby? Same fucking line. We should have had a separate line. Because
right.
we didn't pay some fucking exorbitant fee to be their premier member or whatever the hell club they you have to pay for. It was fucking bullshit. It was really...
Who is this?
This is Dollar. This is apparently... I've done some reviews. This is only the LAX location, so... Don't let that be a deterrent for the whole company, just for that location.
I hope that they're listening.
Cause maybe I hope
next
they do.
Maybe next time they'll comp you a fucking rental car next time.
And, you know, the thing is, I got the special deal online where we're getting, like, a deluxe, you know, premium car for, like, a really good deal.
Right.
And the whole time when we finally got up to the desk, it was like being in a fucking used car sales lot. Well,
wow.
you want to do this? You want to buy this package? You want to do this? No, I just want what I fucking ordered. Leave me the fuck alone. And he's like, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to handle all this. I'm like, just give me what I ordered and I'm out of here. It was, you know, pushy and it was not a good experience to start my vacation, to tell you that.
They were trying to hustle you when you've already placed your order. That's
right.
Fucked up.
I was like, I already have my quoted price. I don't want to pay for this. I'm not going to pay for this. Give me what I paid for already. And it's like they made us pay like a $400 fee on it, like a deposit on our credit card because we use our debit card. And I'm like, well, that's more than my freaking car rental cost. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You either don't pay it or you go somewhere else.
Wow.
I was like, that's really good customer service. Thank you very much.
Wow.
So we finally got a car, which was a freaking it was a Crown Victoria. It was a Lambo, dude. Had a turning ratio of like a bus, man. It was crazy to drive. It took me a little while to get used to, but we went straight to an In-N-Out Burger right after we got our car. I almost called it a truck.
How is an In-N-Out Burger? I've never had it before.
I had it a few months ago, and it's okay. And Kim had never, my wife had never eaten there, so we wanted to try it out. It's good, but it's not much better than like what McDonald's does.
Right, it's more of the brand.
I think the fries are great, but the burgers are they're okay. They're a little bit smaller too, which I guess is good. But well, one night we actually ate at Fat Burger.
The fuck is that?
Fat Burger is a chain restaurant. They don't have a lot of them. They're mostly in California and in like Nevada and that kind of area. But
right,
they're fucking great. If you go to any place that has a Fat Burger, eat a Fat Burger. I actually had the turkey burger, which was, you know, you expect a turkey burger at a fast food place just to be like this flat cardboard tasting board, right. You know, but it was freaking juicy. It was good. It was a great, great burger.
I like their name just in general. There's no subtleties about it.
Nope. No,
you want to come to Burger King or McDonald's?
No, I'm going to Fat Burger. That shit is fat.
Fat Burger.
And they have two different kinds of fries there. They have like the big fat steak fries, and they have regular french fries too.
Really?
Which I'm a huge fan of steak fries, you know.
Me too, man. That's why I love Red Robin so much.
Yep. And they're actually lower in fat and calories than regular fries because they're not, you know, they're not, you don't have to fry them as much. They're usually baked, you know.
Interesting.
But
well, I love bottomless fries.
Yeah, it's not on the diet right now.
Hey, it shouldn't be on mine either, period.
Right,
but
yeah.
I'm guilty of it.
So Monday and Tuesday was our first days at actually Disneyland. We had a busy week. Monday, I mean, we spent like the whole day in both parks. I got to tell you, man, we haven't been there in like 11 or 12 years. So there was a lot of new things open that we hadn't seen yet. California Adventure had totally been redone since the last time we were there, and they spent like $1 billion redoing that park, and it was obvious where the money was spent, and most of the money was spent in a new area called Cars Land.
For the movie?
It's from the movie Cars. I'm not a huge fan of that movie. Actually, I don't like it that much, but I've heard so much great things about this land they built, and it lived up to every expectation I would ever imagine. It's Disney done right with, it's like basically the Imagineers were given as much money as they were able to get. Like, here, we want you to build this area here and go crazy, make it amazing, and they did. They have three attractions there. Two of them are okay. They have one based on Mater, which is like it's weird. It's like on it's a round track, and you go around, and like your car spins around, and it goes. It's very hard to explain without seeing videos of it.
Right.
And the other one, it was sort of based off an old attraction they had when Disneyland first opened in 1955. It's basically, think of it like a big rubber tube with seats on it, on like an air hockey table, a big air hockey table.
Whoa.
That's basically what it was. And
you're sliding everywhere.
I think it had a lot to do with weight distribution on the ride, because when we rode together, we didn't go that much. But then there was a little girl that was like on the ride with us, and she was like going all over the place.
That's crazy.
In her own car. So I think a lot of it had to do maybe with the weight distribution. I don't really know, but it was okay. There was a long line for that all the time. So we actually didn't ride that to our last day, because We went there first thing again in the morning on our last day, and it was like a 10-minute wait. So I will say if you've seen the movie Cars, in the movie they have like this the Cozy Cone Hotel, which is like, you know, cones. Like upside down cones, or actually, you know, just like five or six different cones, and it was like their hotel there. But what they did at Cars Land is they made each cone a different food service area. So one of them had popcorn, and I was really looking forward to it because they're supposed to have all these flavored popcorns, right?
Right.
The two different times that we checked it out, their flavored popcorn of the day was butter. Butter is not a flavored popcorn, my friends.
No.
I'm sorry. I was expecting, like, you know, something cool like sour cream or an onion or cheddar or even something even simple like that. But
honey mustard.
Honey mustard would be cool. Jalapeno something. Butter is not a flavored popcorn.
So what kind of flavored popcorn do you want? Butter?
Not butter. Not butter at all. And they also had this other drink called Red, I guess is one of the characters. It's called Red Apple Freeze. It's basically, think of it as like it's like a frozen apple juice type of deal, but it had a marshmallow like cream on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it had some weird boysenberry foam or something, which sounds really weird, but yeah. The flavor combination was pretty amazing.
Really?
But the one right next to it, which is the cool one, they actually have these edible bread cones. They're shaped like a cone. And for breakfast, I had it was filled with scrambled eggs and this this green verde sauce, which was really spicy and really good. And then it had like this salty like queso fresco cheese on it. Man,
ooh,
that was like the best meal I had the whole trip, I gotta tell you.
Wow.
And it was a breakfast thing.
No. So this Cars is exclusively in Disney in California?
Exclusively right now in California. There are rumors that they're going to build a version of this at Hollywood Studios in Florida. But in my opinion, I wish they don't, because this is a destination onto itself, and if you just start copying shit on both parks, you know, both sides of the country, it's not worth it to go for it to one or the other, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, California needs that type of tourist activity.
Yes, because California is very much a locals park.
Right.
You have people from all around locally that come in, and you do need to bring those touristy people in, which Florida is totally opposite. It's basically all the time tourist, you know?
Yeah.
And they struggle to bring, you know, locals in. Which is why California, they do special, like, during Halloween, they convert the Haunted Mansion into a Nightmare Before Christmas version of the ride. You know, they don't
That's
do
cool
that.
Shit.
It is awesome. It is awesome. We did that, like, the last time we were there, like, 10 years ago.
Wow.
Speaking of the Haunted Mansion, the first time we rode at the Haunted Mansion on Monday, somehow my phone fell out of my pocket off the Doom Buggy in... onto the track of the ride.
That is crazy.
So I lost my phone on the first day of the trip.
Well, that's another... not only did you get hustled by dollar rental cars, but you lose your... It was an iPhone 5, too.
It was iPhone 5, yeah. So I was...
Wow.
And I tried not to let it ruin my trip because... It's an object, and I can replace it. You know, what am I going to do, be upset the whole week because I lost my phone? No.
Right.
So what I did is I went and talked to the some of the cast members outside, and the lead member was a nice lady, and she was able to – she was going to ride the ride with a flashlight and try to locate it, but she came off. She did not locate it. They had another problem during this time period where I guess somebody's bag got stuck into the doors of the stretching room. So the elevator door closes. And if I'm spoiling this, in California at Disneyland, the stretching rooms are actually elevators that take you down because the ride has to get underneath the berm of the train station, the train tracks.
Right.
In Florida, it doesn't really move at all. It doesn't go down at all in Florida. It's just it's an illusion in Florida.
Yeah.
Sorry to spoil that for anybody. But apparently somebody's bag got caught in the door, so they had one of the things broken, so that was a priority for them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And what she recommended me to go do is go fill out it Lost and Found, a lost report. So Lost and Found is actually outside the park. You have to go outside. It's like right out to the right. So we went and did that, and they recommended, you know, that hopefully they were going to – what they do is they turn the lights off sometimes – turn the lights on when the park is closed, and the park didn't close till midnight. And long story short, we did the report, went back the next morning, and they had found my phone.
That is insane.
Yeah, luckily, I mean, there was no scratches to it, no nothing to it. I mean, of course, it was dead because the battery had run out, but man, it was a big fucking relief that my phone was found.
I mean, how many people rode that ride after you?
Well, the thing is, it's a dark ride, so I mean, nobody was. If you weren't looking specifically off onto the track, you're not going to be. You're not going to know that somebody lost a hat or a phone on the track. You're not going to see
it. True. That's true.
So, but what I was afraid of, it fell onto the track and was going to get run over a bunch of times. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But
that's crazy, man.
It had fallen off onto, I guess, a part where nothing happened to it.
Wow.
Luckily, you know, that was a very good part of the trip. And the scary thing is, I am, of course, a big Disney geek. I'm a big nerd. If you can see this, I can pull up my my screen here. And what is on my screen? Let it focus on that.
Yeah, it's too bright. Nope. Now I'm seeing my reflection.
It's the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
Poster. We decided we're going to go write Star Tours after that. And my ringtone is a sound effect from the Star Tours ride. So every time we were in line, we kept on hearing the ringtone. It was just like rubbing salt into a wound. You know what I mean? Like, no!
You know what's funny is that if people aren't watching the actual podcast recording,
which we do have available on YouTube, if you want to watch it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to see my ugly mug. So,
Well, yeah, people can see how you have a Darth Vader with Oswald ears right behind you.
Yep.
So,
and a bunch of my Vinylmations are right behind me on that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's totally into it. He's into Disney like I'm into Funko and. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna get into Funko because there was a lot of that shit during the week. I'll tell you all about that. I know you'll be excited.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, basically, we spent the morning in the park, rode the Radiator Springs Racers a bunch of times. I'm not gonna go into too much detail on everything, but we left the park at maybe around 1 or 2 just to go hang out and do some other stuff around town. We went to a couple different comic book stores. We went to Fat Collectibles, thanks to one of our listeners recommended me to go there. Lot of cool shit there, but, you know, I was really trying to keep my money for later in the week, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we ate lunch out of the park. Our plan that evening was to go back around 4:30-ish, and we were going to meet a fellow podcaster at California Adventure. To meet him, hang out, do dinner, and all that kind of stuff. So this is a cool story. One of the first two podcasts that I ever listened to were both Disney podcasts. And the third podcast that I ever listened to was a heavy metal podcast. So the first two, one was Window to the Magic, which is still going strong. That's done by a guy named Paul Berry. And then the second one was Inside the Magic, which is done by a guy named Ricky Briganti. And if you are Disney geeks, you should check out both of those shows because they're been going for 9 years. So, you know, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
Another show, the third show that I ever listened to was The Entropy League on Metal Injection Radio.
Right.
And one of the next podcasts that I ever listened to was this other show. I can't think of the name of it. It was another heavy metal show where they played a lot of metal stuff. Was it The Dead Zone, maybe? Was that what it was called?
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
That's cool, man.
So
I
you're
have no idea.
Yep, you're one of the first metal podcasts that I ever listened to besides the Entropy League. So
that's cool as shit.
But I think I don't know. I don't know the time frame of when you started Dead Zone, but I think I might have started MSRcast before. I'm not really sure.
Well, I mean, you've had your MSRcast going for a long time.
Yeah, we started that in 2005.
Right. Let's see. I believe I started it in around the same time, actually, around 2005, beginning of 2005.
I think from my foggy memory of that long ago, I think I maybe was like, you know, less than 10 episodes in to my show when you started.
Right.
So it was around the same time, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to Florida from Maryland, and in Maryland I was just doing stuff where for Metal Injection I was doing writing interview questions for Rob and promoting the band, or not the band, but the actual the site,
right,
through MySpace and stuff, but
MySpace.
Yeah, and message board forums.
That's like the golden years of internet.
Yeah.
Social media. That's like, hey, Sonny, do you remember what we had to do back in our day? We had to go to a message board.
Yeah. Fucking Twitter, man.
You and your newfangled facey space and your tweeters and stuff. Oh, yeah. I had to walk 9 miles in the snow to write a message to somebody.
We used birds. But
we were just like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
We used pigeons.
I think it was March or maybe June of 2005 I started the actual podcast. And one of my first interviews actually was with AL from Doth. Which,
oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was actually his first interview ever.
Wow.
Recorded, yeah, so.
Cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, anyways.
So Tuesday night we met up with Paul Berry from Window to the Magic. His show was really cool. It's a different type of Disney show because it's a more audio experience than he doesn't really do news and that kind of stuff, but they do experiences. Like he'll walk into the park and you follow him along, and all the shows are done in binaural audio, so you could actually listen if you listen to him in headphones. It sounds really awesome.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really cool. So we hung out with him for a while. We ate dinner at in Carsland. There's a little fast food place called Flo's V8 Cafe. It's set up like a 50s type of diner, you know.
Right.
I had pork tenderloin with like this Coca-Cola barbecue sauce. He recommended that like majorly, and it was really good. And they had like, you know, mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese. It was like very home style, you know, diner type of food.
Huh.
Exactly. My dryer.
That was
even
that was your heart. Your heart flatlining from all the French fries. And...
Exactly. It's exactly what it was. My heart. Yeah. No.
More.
Too much grease. That was my dryer agreeing with us. But yeah, we had a great time. Then after that, we actually, Ghirardelli had, they have a Ghirardelli ice cream shop right around the corner from there. And yeah, we splurged a little bit and we had a dark chocolate sundae, and Kim and myself, we shared it. So it wasn't that bad.
Right.
It's still bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like we both had our own.
Well, you were on vacation, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And apparently,
not only were you on vacation, but you were in fucking Disney. So
Disneyland.
Yeah.
You ever seen that movie with Adam Sandler and I can't remember who it was, but in the beginning of the it's a sort of an action comedy movie. They get stopped by the cops in the very beginning of the movie, and I think it might have Damon Wayans, maybe.
Oh. And I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, so Bulletproof, I think that was the name
of it. Yes, that was the name of it.
And the Damon Wayans tells the cop, he's like, I'm trying to take trying to take him to Disneyland, and then Adam Sandler kept going, Disneyland, Disneyland. So, like, the whole week we were there, we kept on doing Disneyland. But, I mean, I want to give a major thanks to Paul Berry from Window to the Magic for hanging out with us and just, you know, chatting with us. We talked a lot about podcasting and just, you know, life stuff. It was a lot of fun, man. And he's been a friend of mine for so many years, though I've never actually met him in person. It was a cool experience, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We've got to get him on here, man, so we can...
Yeah, we talked about doing the interview, but I didn't have my recorder with me that day, and... Yeah. We tried to do it later in the week, but we were so busy there was like no time to do it. So yeah, we'll have to get him on the show and we'll just talk about podcasting and, you know, just geek out on that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, man.
So Wednesday was an action-packed day. We actually woke up a little late. Later, we drove from Anaheim to LA to Hollywood area. It's a close to an hour drive normally, 45 minutes, something like that. But you've heard the hellish experience of going down the 101 to the I-5.
I have not really. We're trying to plan our honeymoon, and we're talking about trying to go from San Diego up to Seattle or vice versa.
Right.
And some of the paths that I've been reading about, they say to kind of avoid it. So.
Yeah. It gets very, very trafficy is what I got to say, but I know it's different than Houston traffic, because Houston traffic it's a standstill traffic, and that in California, well, the time that we were on it, it was more flowy, so you're actually able to get somewhere. It just took a lot longer than it should have taken, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that morning, Wednesday, we actually went to the I can't think of the name of the place we went to. It's the farmer's market.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, when I was there a few months ago on our school trip, they dropped us off on one of the tours at the farmer's market for like 10 minutes to go to the bathroom.
Right.
I'm like, this place looks really cool. I want to go here, you know. So we made a point of to go there. They had a bunch of little restaurant shops and that kind of thing, and little shops in there, and it was a lot of fun. We actually I had a chocolate croissant for breakfast, you know, healthy, I know.
Right.
And they had this little shop in there that just all they sold was fucking hot sauces. And I bought a habanero pineapple salsa tonight that day, and I actually tried a little bit tonight with my dinner, and definitely lived up to its habanero spiciness. It was good. But they had like ghost pepper sauces, and if you've checked the Instagram, I did. Put a couple pictures of these out there. There was a ghost pepper sauce. It was like looked like a fucking brutal heavy metal album cover. That's the logo and everything.
I can't do spice like that, man.
I was afraid to try the ghost pepper, man.
They're trying to shoot fire at my O-ring, man. No way.
Pretty much, that's exactly what it would have done. It would like come out the same minute you like put it to your mouth. Like fire would have shot out your butt, man.
Oh, there it is, the fire.
After that, we actually had my cousin used to work at Warner Brothers Studios. Her husband is still an employee there. And he was able to wrangle us two tickets to see Conan O'Brien. Two, actually, VIP tickets to see Conan O'Brien.
VIP?
VIP, very important podcasters. I think that's what it stood for, but yeah. So we met them for lunch, my cousin and her husband, at the commissary there. Actually, it was very expensive for their food there, but it was really good. I had like a ham and turkey sandwich, and it was high quality meat. It wasn't Subway. Let me put it that way. After that, we got one of his coworkers actually arranged to take us around on. They do tours of the studio, which you can pay for. But I think she does party planning for like Make-A-Wish Foundation and that kind of stuff. So,
oh man, that's cool.
Yeah, she has a good job there. I can't think of her name now, and I feel bad for not remembering this girl's name. But she drove Kim and myself, my wife and my cousin, around on a little four-person, you know, golf cart the whole for a couple hours before we had to get to this taping.
So you were doing the Pee Wee Herman golf cart chase around Warner Brothers Studios.
Basically, we were. Yes,
that
exactly.
Is fucking cool.
It's exactly what we were doing. Yeah. She didn't know quite as much as like one of the tour guides would know, but she let us get into some areas that normal people couldn't go into. We got to go into the graphic design shop, which was really cool. Where they do all the printing and, you know, banners and all that kind of stuff. And these guys, I saw their cubicle, their area where they're working. These guys had like 40-inch fucking graphic design monitors. They were freaking huge.
So the banners, like, they would hang on the outside of Warner Brothers?
Well, no, basically stuff for movies and that kind of stuff, you know. So if you need a graphic for a movie or something for a fake shop in your movie, that's what you would go to.
Oh.
It's their graphic design shop. And we also got to go into their prop department. Oh, dude, this thing was like a freaking museum.
Really?
There's just three floors of just props from everything, every production they've ever needed. So people from... So say you're doing a movie in L.A. from Hollywood and you need a certain candle holder from the 60s that looks like something from the 60s. They'll have that.
Really?
They have everything you could imagine that you would need for a production. And a lot of it was very famous shit from from productions that have been filmed there.
You know, I think I saw that warehouse on a TV show that Spike TV was putting out last year. Not Spike, Sci-Fi. It was basically like you build a set within
right.
a couple of hours. You know. You
okay, yeah, I did. Yeah, it was sort of like the Mike makeup show. Mike
yeah.
Face Off. But yeah, I did see that show. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's cool. I remember them talking about that.
And they have a reproduction of the Friend set. It's actually it's really the actual furniture and the couch and everything from the coffee shop.
Wait. So your butt impression touched Jennifer Aniston's butt impression?
Technically, yeah, sure. I guess it did.
You're a god amongst geeks.
I did not know Jennifer Aniston was a geek goddess, but okay.
Oh yes.
In your mind, maybe.
Hey, she's hot.
She is hot. I will give her that. We were so close to seeing her. She was the guest on Conan O'Brien the next day, so we missed seeing her by one day.
Wow.
So let me tell you about this Conan O'Brien experience. The only ever TV experience that I've had was a long time ago. We saw Jay Leno being filmed, and I'm not a Jay Leno fan at all, so it was not exciting to me.
Oh, what do you mean you're not a fan? I'm sorry.
Are you a fan?
No, hell no.
Okay.
Fuck that guy.
I'm going to give him a -5 horns.
The only thing that I like about Jay Leno is that he's been able to produce a friend of Kevin Smith's to create a podcast called Edumacation, which is amazing.
I haven't heard of that. What is that?
It's basically a podcast where Kevin Smith, he says he's an idiot, so he wants his friend Andy, who reads articles all day long for the Jay Leno show, you know, the part where they clip out the articles.
And, right, yeah.
You know, that's that guy. He
Really? Edumacation?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I haven't heard of this one yet.
I've listened to it. I have one more I have to listen to. I think it's episode 5.
Okay, so it just came out recently. It's not that old.
Yeah. So basically what he does is a sci-fi and why and buy. So
I'm subscribing to it right now on my phone.
Awesome.
With my awesome podcast app called Downcast. Available for $1.99 on the iTunes store. Not sponsoring Metal Geeks Podcast.
Yeah.
But worth buying.
Yeah, we need some sponsors would be cool. So anyway, I think his name's Andy Diggle. That's his name. But he
Andy Diggle?
Yeah, I believe that's his name.
Okay. It sounds very familiar. That guy's name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Let's get back. Go ahead.
He on Twitter he's Andy Edumacation.
Okay, Andy Diggle, let's see. He's not the same guy that does comic books, is he?
I don't think so.
Because there's Andy Diggle is a British comic book writer and former editor of 2000 AD. He's done Hellblazer, Swamp Thing. He wrote The Losers, and the movie about. He did Thunderbolts and Daredevil for Marvel.
Maybe I have it wrong.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
I'll look it up while you're doing.
So, the coolest thing I would say about Conan O'Brien, was their warm up guy. It's a guy named Jimmy Pardo. Have you heard of this guy?
I don't believe so.
Funny comedian. He's a great, great comedian. Listen to his podcast. It's called Never Not Funny. It's hilarious, and it is truthfully never not funny. but he was like the warm-up act, and so he got the audience all ready to go, which is cool because when we got there, we didn't have to wait in line with the general public. They brought us right to the guy that hooked us up. He's like their PR guy. Brought us right to the back door into the green room, hung out there for a few minutes. I saw Jimmy Vivino, the guitar player, the lead band guy, came through there. And then they brought us right to our seats. We had great seats. We had a special wristband on, you know. The show was fun, man. I got to tell you that. I'm trying to remember who the guests were now. Why is that going out of my mind?
I don't know.
The coolest celebrity they had on that show, though, was me.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. That was pretty cool, man.
So
awesome cameo.
I made a great cameo. That I should have had a Metal Geek shirt on, but
that would have been so awesome.
I can't remember who the guests were now. It's driving me crazy, man.
I actually stopped watching it after I saw you. I was totally starstruck. I was like, oh my god.
I know that guy. I know that guy.
Oh my god, he's next to Andy Richter.
He was like right up on me, dude. When he was doing that skit, it was cool. And then later on, the girl that was next to Kim got a hug from Conan, and like Conan like was like seriously like 2 inches from me like the whole time.
Really?
I was like, this dude's really tall. Yeah. Really lanky.
He's like a ginger Jack Skellington.
Exactly.
I am absolutely incorrect about Andy Diggle. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. His name is Andy McElfrish.
Okay.
He's a writer on The Tonight Show. But basically he does all the articles. And his Twitter handle is Edumacation Andy, not Andy Edumacation, like I said earlier.
Okay.
He is on the Smodcast Network with Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith actually is on the entire show with him. And I got to tell you, man.
Wait a minute, Kevin Smith is on a podcast?
No way.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
It's.
I'm going to say this right now. I would love to get Metal Geeks part of the Smodcast Network.
Yeah, that would be pretty badass. I think we have to know him.
I know. Well, we'll get to that. I know one of the guys now from one of the shows, so maybe we could sort of wiggle our way in there eventually. Yeah.
Well, basically, this podcast is hilarious. It's probably the funniest fucking podcast I have ever heard.
Besides Hollywood Babylon? Have you listened to Hollywood Babylon?
I have not listened to that. No, I will. I'm going to subscribe to it.
Listen to the episode. Oh, well, I'll get to that. I don't want to put any spoilers out there. Speaking of Kevin Smith, because he had a show called Spoilers on Hulu, you know.
Yeah, but this the podcast, man. I don't know what Kevin's doing throughout the show when he's sitting there talking to Andy.
Uh-huh.
But I think what he does is I think he lights up and smokes pot the entire show.
That sounds about right.
While Andy is giving him some education, and it's actually pretty incredible because, like, you know, I've actually learned quite a bit of things from the podcast, and I'm one of those guys. I'm just like Andy, where I like
to learn. You're a know-it-all. Huh? Not in a negative way, but you know a lot of shit.
Right. My other half calls me JMpedia. Yeah, I've actually read a bathroom reader front to back on a fucking toilet.
Wow.
Yeah, that's me.
You need some more fiber then.
Yeah.
If you can read a whole book on the toilet, man.
No, that's not my claim to fame though.
What's your claim to fame?
I've watched all of the Friday the 13th movies on an iPod Classic while shitting.
You definitely need some fiber in your body then. Wow.
I don't even know why that was one of my goals, but I mean, how many people do you know besides me that said I watched all of the Friday the 13th movies on the crapper?
It's definitely not on my bucket list, but...
Well, that's a piece of trivia. Maybe that's how we can give a giveaway. What movie did J.M. Metal Geek...
what series of movies did J.M. Metal Geek watch while it's shitting?
You may win a prize.
We actually do have some prizes to give away this evening, so we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
The day that I saw the Conan O'Brien show, Sharon Stone and Anthony Jeselnik were both on it.
I remember seeing Sharon Stone in...
beautiful. She's a beautiful woman still.
Yeah. She's very flirtatious with him, too.
Yes, she is. Oh, yeah. But I forgot. I would really be remiss if I forgot to mention this. On the way to Warner Brothers Studios, we had a little bit of extra time, and the Hollywood Cemetery is about 2 minutes away from where we needed to go. We went and saw Dio's gravesite where he was buried, his tomb. I guess you call it a tomb. But
yeah,
there's pictures of us on Instagram there, and it was definitely a worthwhile venture to go pay tribute to the main man, you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird because he was buried in this certain section of the cemetery. We looked it up. And about 100 feet away from him is Liberace.
That is interesting.
I was like, okay. So Liberace and Dio were buried right by each other, really.
Very interesting. That's an interesting piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it was weird because
I had just
seen that Liberace movie on with Michael Douglas and Matt Damon on HBO about a month before.
I haven't seen that, but
it's really, really good. It's directed by Soderbergh. So,
well, how fucked up was Liberace to make that guy have surgery to look like his own self while he was shoving his cock in his mouth? That's fucked up.
I didn't look at it from that direction, but yeah, that is fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that.
I don't want to think about that.
It's like, oh, I can't wait to skull fuck my face later.
That is definitely, a bad case of narcissism.
Yeah. Yeah. Extremely.
Yeah. That is weird, man. Yeah. Wow. But yeah.
I just mind fucked you.
My mind was definitely blown on that one. So after we left Conan, which we still had a great time, we went down to, that's the night we had Fatburger, and we went to the store in L.A. If you go anywhere near L.A., you have to go to Amoeba Music. It's the biggest fucking record, music, CD, DVD, Blu-ray, toy store you've ever been to.
Really?
It's amazing, and if anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, and I know if you're in the area, you definitely know, you have to go to Amoeba Music. I only bought like 3 CDs when I was there. I bought actually bought my wife something. I bought her Vortex, ICS Vortex, a solo album. We listened to that a lot on the way back to Anaheim. I got the new Orphanland album.
Nice.
And I got the new Trouble album, The Distortion Field.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new.
Yeah, you just Instagrammed that earlier.
Yep. Had to purchase it. Let's get into this let's talk about it for a second. If you are a hardcore Trouble fan, there's going to be stuff on this album you're going to like. If you're not a Doom fan, there's still going to be stuff on this album you're going to like. It's a very different album than what I was expecting. The only real Doomy type song is the first track on the album called When the Sky Comes Down. don't get me wrong, the album still has that classic Trouble tone to it, but the songwriting on it is so different. And Kyle Thomas is their vocalist on this album, you know, from Exorder and a bunch of different bands. His vocals are so, they're really soulful and deep, and they're really, really great vocals on the album. They're totally different than anything ever done in the band before. So once you get over that, you can really dig into this album and enjoy it.
I'm going to have to listen to it. I've actually never listened to them.
You never listened to Trouble at all?
Right.
Okay, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, the only Trouble that I listened to was Travis Tritt, and that's probably...
No. I'm going to... I know Kyle a little bit. I've been trying to get him and one of the other guys on Trouble. We need to do a whole episode devoted to them.
Awesome.
To Trouble, because one of my favorite vocalists of all times is Eric Wagner, former vocalist for all the Trouble albums. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this album. Hopefully, since Kyle lives in New Orleans, which isn't very far away from here, hopefully they can come down here and play in Houston.
You know, that's like a 17-hour drive for me.
What's that?
To New Orleans.
It's a 6-hour drive for me, so...
That's crazy.
Yeah, because from Houston to Orlando, it's like 23, 24 hours, so...
Yeah, but what's even crazier is that where my parents live in Maryland, it's about the same 16-hour drive.
Really?
You're going up the East Coast instead of up around the Gulf. It's crazy.
I actually was in New Orleans for about 20 minutes the other day on Monday from where we had a not really switch planes, but our airplane landed there. We had to get off the plane so we can get right back on the same damn plane. Didn't make any damn sense to me.
Who'd you fly with?
United.
Hmm.
It was very strange.
They must have wanted to clean the plane out.
They did, but I mean, still, let the people stay on the plane. That there's only like five of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But okay, not gonna bitch about that. I've done enough bitching about a dollar tonight.
It's all good. Fuck that car rental place.
Exactly. Thursday, we spent the morning again in the park. And then for weeks before our trip, I was trying to get tickets to see Jimmy Kimmel Live. We didn't find out we were actually on the list until the day before. So we sort of rearranged our schedule. Because we were planning Thursday night to drive back into Hollywood. We were going to go to the UCB Theater, and we were going to hang out with Jordan from Altness. And he just moved to L.A. maybe about 6 months ago and got a job there working for an author named Neil Strauss. Have you heard of him?
Neil Strauss?
Yeah.
It does sound very familiar.
He did the Motley Crue book with the guys. He did the Marilyn Manson autobiography. He did a lot of stuff like that. And Jordan's got a job working for this dude. And we hung out with him on Thursday night at the UCB Theater, which is, you know, the Upright Citizens Brigade, which was started by, like, Amy Poehler and some of those people.
Right.
The show that we saw was called Improv versus Stand-Up. It was basically they got two stand-up guys and then a group of improv people. So they did the stand-up first and then the improv, and then they switched off. So the improv were doing stand-up, and the stand-up guys were doing improv, which is really cool. Then you got to vote for which ones did a better job at the end of the show. One of the hosts of the show is a local comedian named Christian Spicer, also a fellow podcaster. That's how I got into the show. He got us on the guest list, and he's actually a former Houstonian and was smart enough to get out. Not that... I'm saying anything negative. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Yeah, he does a show, a couple different shows. He's on, sometimes he's on the show Weekend Confirmed with Garnett Lee and Jeff Cannata, all about video games. He also has another show, which I recommend to everybody. This is turning into our podcast recommendation show or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a show called Uninformed Opinions. So it's Christian Spicer and Stuart Nacht, all otherwise known as Wombat, from the CAGcast. If you haven't listened to the CAGcast, I highly recommend that one too. Total of just video game show. Really one of my favorite video games. It's like really the only video game podcast I listen to religiously. And they get a topic each week and they just talk about it. So like, they'll talk about Batman and they'll just talk off the top of their head. If even if they're wrong about shit, they'll just say shit. So that's where they hence the name Uninformed Opinions. They don't do any research before the show. They just remember shit. And it's a very great show. It's a cool show. So we saw that show. We hung out with Jordan. Jordan texted me when we were on the way over there. He's like, Malin Ackerman is sitting at the restaurant right next door to the club.
That's awesome.
We hurried the fuck up there, and indeed she was. She is, oh, talk about my geek goddess. There she is right there.
What is her name again?
Malin Ackerman.
What was she in?
She was in she was the daughter superhero in Watchmen.
I mean, anything else you've been in?
No, you're gonna make me pull shit off the top of my head now.
There's an uninformed
opinion. Uninformed opinion. let's see, Malin Ackerman. Pull up her Wikipedia here. She's Swedish, which is even nicer. Let's see, let me pull up her filmography. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Right.
The Heartbreak Kid, 27 Dresses, Watchmen. That was her big break, I think. Couples Retreat, that was the one with Vince Vaughn.
I've seen that one.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out Wonderlust.
She is pretty, man.
Oh, yeah.
She's only a year older than me.
She's younger than me. Let's see, she was in Entourage, How I Met Your Mother.
The Proposal.
Suburgatory, Robot Chicken. So she's geeky.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's definitely somebody I have a crush on. Sorry to my wife, but yeah. And we didn't bug her because she was eating dinner with her friends and family. She had her baby with her, I think. So no point to bother her, you know what I mean?
Right.
So back to Jimmy Kimmel. Before we went to the UCB Theater, we had a blast, man. We basically, you wait. If you've ever seen a Jimmy Kimmel show, it's right there in the same building as the El Capitan Theater, which is the theater owned by Disney. You sit there, you wait on the streets of Hollywood Boulevard, trying to avoid all the weird people that are there. There's a lot of strange people on Hollywood Boulevard. I gotta tell you that much.
Well, isn't Skid Row near that? There's an area, not Sebastian Bach. That'd be kind of fucking cool, though.
I thought Skid Row was like New York.
Well, no, there's actually a place in Hollywood called Skid Row. Did you ever see the movie The Soloist with Jamie Foxx?
I did. I saw the majority of it. I didn't see it all.
Jamie Foxx, he goes into this little area where it's like a home or a place where he meets up with all the other people who have mental problems.
Okay.
And Robert Downey Jr. sleeps on the street with him.
Right, yeah, okay. I've seen parts of it on like HBO, but I haven't seen the whole thing.
That's actually Skid Row.
Okay.
So basically, like, it's a homeless colony.
Hollywood Boulevard and the surrounding area is not, how do I say this in a very polite way, it's not a great area. It's a lot of homeless people. It's run down. There's parts of it that are decent, but a lot of it is very crappy. It's a very crappy area, and it's scary to stay around there, you know?
Right.
But, so back to Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel did his show completely different than Conan did. Conan was very much by the book type of recording. Jimmy Kimmel was just by the seat of their pants. It was just fun. It was like loose. It was someplace that I would want to work at, definitely. Their warm-up guy was not funny at all, though. He was actually quite annoying. I don't even remember his name. It was nobody ever heard of before, but I got to tell you, the guest that he had on Jimmy Kimmel on the show that night, one was Carrie Russell, who's on the Americans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and their first guest was...
Wait, that's also Felicity.
Yeah, she was on Felicity, exactly. She was there because she had a movie coming out soon called Austin Land. She was talking about it was like, you know, Jane Austen.
Right, right.
Not Austin, like the city of Austin, but a place where she goes and they can recreate, you know, Jane Austen type stories, you know. But the main guest of that evening was a gentleman. He has a movie coming out called Paranoia. What else has he been in? I'm trying to think of what other movies he's been in. I think one of them was Star Wars, and then like Indiana Jones. So yeah, it was Harrison Ford.
Oh yeah, that guy.
That guy. I gotta tell you, man. I've seen him doing interviews before, and I seen him, when I saw him live at the show. We weren't that far away from him too. It was pretty cool. He definitely has some kind of weird social disorder. He doesn't know how to. I was talking about somebody to Fernando about this today, actually at work, and he doesn't know how to act in front of people. There's something weird about him.
And you know what's funny?
Go ahead.
This is just because of what you just said about meeting your friend.
Yeah.
Or you're talking to your friend at work. I have a geeky friend at work named Fernando.
Do you?
Yes. That is weird.
Oh, it's Fernando's Hideaway. You look marvelous.
Yeah, my Fernando's family's from Cuba.
Well, this is the Fernando that was on our last episode of Metal Geek, so.
Yeah.
He's a coworker of mine. But, yeah, I don't know what it is about him, dude. It's probably why he doesn't do a lot of appearances, because he doesn't know how to react to being around people, maybe. You know what I mean?
Well, I imagine it probably plays a toll, you know.
Totally, dude.
I mean, I'm certain he doesn't have the same outlook on life as he did when he first got into the business. You know, and I almost watched Blade Runner the other night. That was on...
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
They had it on IFC.
I have the extended 5-hour director's cut on Blu-ray.
Holy shit.
I might be exaggerating. It might be not 5 hours, but it's pretty fucking long. That's the actually version where he's actually a replicant. There's a different version. There's a couple different versions. Like the director's cut is Harrison Ford actually spoiler, but he's actually turned out to be a replicant in that version. But
not a spoiler, man.
Right.
Been out there for how long?
That's true. I guess there was a period of, if it's been out for more than like a year or so, spoilers don't count anymore.
I'd even go far as say 6 months.
Okay, you're being generous, but. It was funny because he was trying to do a skit with Jimmy about if you watch the episode, you can probably watch it online. Jimmy or Harrison Ford wanted to give Jimmy Kimmel a present, so he wrapped up this shirt, and it was like a huge Hawaiian shirt that didn't fit Jimmy Kimmel. And he's like, "So why did you give me a shirt so big?" And he's like, "I've lost weight recently, blah blah blah," and he's like, "Well, I picked it up on the way over here from where? With a guy standing outside." It was like a big skit, you know, a big joke.
Yeah.
And they had the guy that came out. He was like sitting in like the row next to me. He came out in a robe at first. This is a little behind the scenes magic. And right before they like put him on screen, he took his robe off and he was just in his underwear. So the whole thing was that Harrison Ford bought his pants and his shirt so we can give it away to people.
What the fuck? That's weird.
And when they cut back to the guy coming back to his seat, that's when you could see Kim and myself on Jimmy Kimmel, which was cool.
Right, that is cool.
So you
were on TV twice that week.
I was on TV twice, and usually the only time I'm ever on TV here in Houston is when I don't want to be, like at work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the 4th of July parade where you can see my happy ass for like the whole time because I'm carrying around a camera. But the musical guest was really cool. It was Joan Jett and the Blackhearts that day, and never seen her live before, and it was a lot of fun. What they do is they have two different audiences basically that you can request, one for the studio audience and the one for just the concert. And they have a huge stage built backstage or behind the building. That's where you can buy like merchandise and that kind of shit. I did buy a t-shirt, of course. Had to. What they do is Jimmy Kimmel comes up on stage and he does like his little outro and then he does the intro. So you have to pretend you've already heard the song, you know, everybody's like, yay, clapping along like you're pretending like you've already heard it. And then, Joan Jett comes out or they come out and they do like two songs. They do the main song and then they do a song that they basically fade to the end of the show with. If you've ever seen the show, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And after that, they actually stayed around and played like four or five more songs. They did like a full mini little concert. It's pretty cool, man.
It is cool.
So we got to see Joan Jett. We weren't even expecting it, you know what I mean?
For free.
For free.
That is cool.
We saw a lot of celebrities this week, I got to tell you that much. So go ahead. Did you have a question?
No, I was going to say, not only did you see a lot of celebrities, but you were on fucking TV.
I was the list internet celebrity on TV that evening.
Yeah, right.
we're not even like D listers. We're like way down on the fucking alphabet. Hopefully, we'll get to like you know S and T eventually one day. We'll move up.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll be T list celebrities one day. It's hard to say that.
How do you say it?
T list. It's almost like the T virus, you know.
Yeah.
But one of the main reasons we actually went to California, well, one of my main reasons, is to go to the D23 Expo, and that's what I did Friday and Saturday. Friday was just myself. I managed to get a press pass for the whole weekend, and I was unable to get Kim one, so we only were able to buy her a one day ticket, which 1 day tickets were $50. I gotta tell you. Not cheap. Nothing at Disney is cheap.
Right.
Nothing. So this is, I'm just going to say it right now. This is going to be a long episode. This is going to be a little bit longer than we usually used to because I have a lot of shit to share from the expo on this episode. So basically D23 Expo is like, imagine a Comic Con only for Disney stuff. They had a little bit for everybody. They had, you know, Disney theme park stuff. They had Disney Channel stuff. They had Disney Junior stuff. They had anything you could think of that was Disney was there. So I didn't, not everything was there for me, you know what I mean?
Right.
So Friday morning, I got onto this breakfast list. I've never seen Phineas and Ferb before. Have you?
No.
But they had a breakfast sponsored by, there's a episode is actually coming out on this Friday, on the 16th, on Disney Channel. It's Phineas and Ferb meets Marvel characters, basically.
That's interesting because I just recently saw in a comic book store here of those two guys dressed up as Batman and Robin.
Okay. I haven't seen that. But, they showed what they did. They had this machine, like this big, tall building they built. And it was all digital. It was like touch, you know, where you could. The basic premise of the thing was they had the doctor of the show, I don't even remember his name now, Doofenshorts or something like that, created this thing called the Waffle-inator. And it shot waffles at the screen. It was like a big video game, basically.
That's cool as shit.
And they had a waffle breakfast to go along with the show.
That's awesome.
And they had the voice cast from Phineas and Ferb came out. And they had the voice cast from the Marvel Avengers Alliance, which is the new show that I just watched the pilot of today, the first episode. And they came out, and one of them is like Adrian Pasdar, who used to be in Heroes, and Drake Bell, who used to be on some Nickelodeon show. And
well, he does, stuff. Yeah, he does a lot. He's actually been to two cons here.
He's Spider-Man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's been Spider-Man for a while.
Yeah, he, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, he was here at the Tampa Bay Comic Con that I went to.
Okay. But
I had no desire to meet him.
Yeah, me either. Not really. Then I got into the show a little bit early. I actually ran into a couple people I've always admired. One of them is a guy I would mention earlier, Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic, who I'm a huge fan. He does this an amazing job of podcasting, and then his videos. I mean, he gets millions of hits on his videos. You know what I mean? This guy is top shit.
Yeah.
And I actually finally got to meet him. I've talked to him over the years through emails and correspondence and stuff, but never actually met the dude. It was really exciting for me to... He was like my celebrity, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Which is weird, because like, I'm a podcaster too, but podcasters were my celebrities this week, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually ran into Chris Gore. Do you know who he is?
No, I do not.
Did you ever watch Attack of the Show?
The what?
Attack of the Show on G4.
No, I never really watch that channel, actually.
He was on that show a lot. He does his own podcast. He's really big on the internet scene. I've been a huge fan of him for years. And he was generous enough to like take some time and talk to me for a couple times and take a picture with me. And I think that's somebody we need to get on the show, because he has a show called Pod Crash, where he just goes and crashes other people's podcasts.
That's badass.
So that definitely is an open invitation to Chris Gore to come on our show whenever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Well, that is the end of part one of episode 19 of Metal Geeks. We decided to split this into a two-parter since it is such a long episode and there was a lot to cover. We are releasing both of these at the same time, so you can listen to part one, and then part two is going to be a lot of the developer interviews and more about the expo and our final comments and all that good stuff that you do not want to miss. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Metal Geeks Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Metal Geeks Podcast, Twitter at Metal Geeks, themetalgeeks@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook. You can also find us through iTunes, where you can subscribe to the show and leave a comment and feedback. Give us a like. It really does help build the Metal Geek Army. So thanks for tuning in. We will see you very, very soon.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast. Brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.